welcome to Inside the Helix, a podcast presentation from DNA Genetics. Throughout this series, we focus on all things that matter to the pork industry. You'll hear from our award-winning team of geneticists, veterinarians, animal care providers, nutritionists, and other industry-leading experts. We'll explore pig production from genetic improvement all the way to meat quality. Listen along as we take a deep dive inside the DNA Helix. After China, the European Union, and the United States respectively, Brazil is the world's fourth largest pork producing country. According to the USDA, Brazil accounts for 4% of global production. On today's episode of Inside the Helix, we have a special guest to talk about Brazil's pork industry. I'd like to welcome Gleber Machado into the studio. Gleber is a Brazilian agribusinessman, veterinarian, and DNA genetics distributor in South America. Gleber, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. And Gleber, it's so good to have you in the United States this week. You took part in a variety of different farm visits, as well as visited our headquarter office here in Columbus, Nebraska. Before we get into an update in Brazilian's pork industry, I'd like to take this opportunity to get to know you just a bit better. So maybe we could start off with, how long have you been involved in the pork industry?
So actually, a bit more than 30 years. I've been involved with that. I'm a veterinarian as my background, and I started working with pigs actually before I got out of university. So 32 to 33 years actually.
Now, are you from an agricultural area within Brazil, or how did you start working with animals, or how did you get your interest in becoming a veterinarian?
Yeah, I come from the Midwest, and I had a very strong connection with cattle actually. And that's where my interest on the veterinary science came from. And then after I entered university, already on the second year, I was very connected to some professors, and I started really enjoying digging into the swine industry, and my passion for pigs started right there.
What is it about pigs that excites you or drives your passion?
I think it's the industry itself and the way the impact that the technical area, health, nutrition, and reproduction has in the whole business. It's an area of the veterinary science where the impact of the decisions of the professional is huge. So we play a relevant part in the industry, I would say, like that. And this is something that really attracted me to the swine industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So Brazil, as hopefully our audience knows, is a very, very large country. Are there specific areas within the country that are more heavily concentrated with swine production?
Yes, definitely the south of Brazil. We have 65 of our production, our industry is in the three southern states of Brazil. We have a very relevant expansion in the Midwest as well, where most of the grain production is. But the south still accounts for the majority of our production. And then the Midwest and the southeast are the two and second most important areas as well.
Now, I would say Brazil's swine industry is growing very quickly. What is really fueling this growth?
It's growing because of the export market. Let's say that in the last 8 years, we doubled our export share. So it's relevant for the business today. We export already more than 20% of our production. Domestic consumption is also something which is growing in Brazil. In the last 8 years, we had a 35 to 40% increase in pork consumption by Brazilians. This is a very relevant figure for us. And I would say that Brazil in general has a very big agri sector in general, for grains, for dairy cows, for beef, poultry. It's a huge industry, and also swine industry. So this is part of our culture, part of our country. You have a huge arable land, a lot of conservation areas as well. So it's, I think that we have natural resources, we have a relevant domestic consumption, a relevant export market, and altogether this accounts for the relevance and the growth of this pork sector in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about that domestic consumption a little bit, because that seems like that grew quite a bit. What's fueling that growth?
I would say we still have some challenges in there, because Brazilians eat more processed pork than fresh pork. But there is an ongoing marketing campaign in our market, in our society. This is funded by the producers, and this is bringing some practical results. I mean, it's there is much more efficiency on the way that this meat is presented to the consumer. It's more convenient, so smaller portions, more variety of pork meat comparing to what we had some years ago. Price is also a main driver there. So Brazilians use it to eat beef as their main meat. Now poultry is actually number one in Brazil because of prices, and it's a huge industry actually in Brazil. And then pork started to compete very well with beef on prices. It's a cheaper meat comparing to the beef meat there. And so prices together with a marketing campaign to eliminate some taboos from the past regarding health issues on the meat. All this together and combined accounted for this growth in domestic consumption.
You mentioned processed foods for sure, but if you look at fresh meat cuts, are there certain cuts that are more popular than others? And if we look at loins or bacon, or what is it that consumers are looking for? Is it all over the board?
Yeah, I would say that, it's still processed, but fresh sausage is the most eaten product in our culture.
Sure.
For barbecue and daily, as a daily food. And when you're talking really about the fresh meat, I would say that the ham is still the most popular one.
Very good. So I was doing some research with Embrapa and found that Brazil is the world's leader in the cost of swine production per kilo of live weight. Why is this? Does it have anything to do with kind of the abundance of available grain, or are there other factors that need to be taken into consideration?
One of the strong reasons is exactly this one, the availability of grains, corn and soybean meal. I would say that soybean meal it's a global commodity, so the prices are not that much different from one country to another, but corn prices started to become more globalized as well. So yes, grain availability and grain prices are one of the drivers there, but we also have very efficient production. So Brazilian farms are known for its high productivity, qualified labor, availability of labor, and a kind of careful management of animals. So this is a kind of very typical thing from our production. So producers in general, they are very much efficient on the technical level. So we are a country that we can combine cost of production because of the grain availability. We can combine good labor and good technical efficiency. And besides that, we have a very privileged health situation. So we are free and naive for many of the very important diseases that we have worldwide. So this is also a very important point there.
Are there any challenges in Brazil's swine production sector? Because I remember when I did visit Brazil a few years ago, and they were growing very quickly in grain production and soybean production and corn production. But one of the biggest challenges that they had was infrastructure types of challenges. Are there any challenges within the pork sector that maybe are impacting it in regards to getting pork out to the world?
Yes, there are. So I think there are many. We could be a much more relevant or larger country if we didn't have so many challenges. One of them is the access to some foreign markets. Brazil has a relevant export share, but we export mostly to China. It used to be to Russia and Ukraine in the past. Now China is our main importer, but we still have some difficulty to access some more added value markets. This is changing right now. We started to be approved in some areas of Brazil to export, for instance, to Japan and to some other relevant high added value markets. So this is something that we are fighting, and I would say that we are succeeding on the long term. Another challenge that we have is, like you just said, infrastructure. We have a high cost regarding infrastructure and delivery and access to the harbors, and this is something that's it costs us a lot because of lack of overall infrastructure in the country. I would say that another challenge that we have is still domestic consumption, although we are improving on that area. Pork has still a kind of paradigm from the overall population, with some ideas from the past regarding healthy issues or things related to possible transmission of diseases. So these are some concepts from the past. They are not actually true, but you're still in the mind of some a parcel of our consumers. So we still have a very big room for increase in domestic consumption. And this is a challenge that we are facing it, but there is a lot of things to do yet.
Now, you mentioned something a few minutes ago about being naive to many diseases that are out there. And I think that's something that probably American swine producers are very envious of, is your resistance to a lot of very devastating diseases such as PRRS. Talk about this and maybe some of the protocols that, Brazil has in place to prevent disease outbreaks such as PRRS.
Okay, so this is a very important chapter of our swine industry. So I would say that, actually we have in place very serious, strict protocols to avoid that. But one of the main reasons why we didn't have that in the past is because we were a kind of closed country for import of live animals in the 90s, in the 80s as well. So when PRRS started to become a global challenge in terms of disease, Brazil was not importing livestock at all. So we were a kind of closed market. We started becoming open to this import of livestock, including live swine, in around 94, 95. So this allowed us to have some time to be prepared for that. So as soon as we started again importing some breeding stock to Brazil, we were already capable of diagnosing that. So this was one of the reasons why we could start our import process already being capable of detecting that. And since then, we started to improve a lot our security levels. Brazil counts with a very isolated quarantine facility in an island in the seashore of our country. It's all controlled by the government. All breeding companies are making a very serious job in terms of making their part and helping to keep us naive for those diseases like PRRS, like PD. So this is a combination of a bit of lucky in the 90s, because we were not importing animals when the disease became an outbreak worldwide, and then competence from the country, from the breeding companies, from the technician community, from the technical community, to really put those protocols in place as soon as we could be able to detect that.
Yeah, so you mentioned that many of these animals will come into an island quarantine for a while. How long are they at this island for quarantine?
I would say that in the last 5 to 6 years. So we had quarantines that were approved, private quarantines that were approved and inspected by the Agriculture Ministry. And around 6 years ago, there was a joint investment from the breeding companies together with the government. And all these facilities, filtered facilities, were built in this island. It's called Cananea Island in the shore of São Paulo State. So as soon as the animals land in the airport, they are driven directly to this island, and then they stay there for at least 30 days, and it's a lot of diagnostic tests are performed there.
You said 30 days?
Yeah, from 30 to 40 days.
30 to 40 days. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
And all breeding companies are using the same site, the same facility. It's organized. There is an association of the breeding companies that is taking care of that together with the Agriculture Ministry.
So that said then, do you have any disease pressures whatsoever?
Yes, we have.
So what are kind of maybe your bigger ones that you're dealing with?
We deal a lot with influenza and combination of influenza virus and mycoplasma. APP is a challenge in Brazil. So we have all regular diseases that most countries have. We just don't have those critical diseases, viral diseases, most like PED or like PRRS.
Yeah.
So this is something we really keep naive for.
Earlier, Gleber, you talked about some of the different challenges, whether those are issues related to exports, whether those are issues related to infrastructure. Are there any other challenges that producers are experiencing at the production level that producers are regularly dealing with?
Yeah, I would say that we have a very big gap in terms of automation process in the farm. So we still have a lot of room to improve. I would say that new farms, brand new farms, are much similar to what you have here in the U.S., but the older farm or existing farms, they have it's not easy for them to access some credit or viable loans to invest into modernize those facilities. So we still have a production system in Brazil, and this is something that it's very important to be emphasized. That is, we have many farrow-to-finish farms. We have many two-site farms, or farms that if we had some viral challenge in a very high level, it would be difficult for us to live with. So what you had, for instance, in the U.S. over the last 30 years transforming the biosecurity of the whole country, adapting the production system, segregating the whole production model is something that we should do in Brazil before we have those challenges. And this is something that is not easy to do. It doesn't become a priority until you have the problem in there. So this I would say that to make our production systems more prepared for huge health challenges, this would be a gap that we need to fill in. Another thing that we challenge is labor. I mean, we have a lot of available labor, but it's not easy to retain that. Our unemployment rate is not that high, so the swine industry doesn't compete very well for this labor. So we have it available. In Brazil, we don't need to bring it from outside, but it's difficult to retain and to motivate and to compete with other industrial sectors.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a challenge that we have here in the United States as well, as that labor issue. So along those lines then, you're familiar with Brazilian production and you've experienced American production here in the States. What are maybe some differences or similarities that you see?
I think we have many similarities. We are also an industry which is corn, soybean based. We are a swine industry that is driven by large-scale projects. We have integrated systems are very common in Brazil, and they play for the majority of our swine production. So independent production for the spot market is decreasing year after year, and large projects, integrated, consolidated, and verticalized are getting more and more important, just like it happened in North America. It's a corn, soybean-based industry as well, totally different from what we see in Europe. So there are very big similarities in this way. But in terms of differences, one that I just mentioned, like the production systems that you have in place here with all the win-to-finish systems and the segregated production in nurseries, finishers, all segregated sites, very different from what you have in the 80s and 90s. This is something that we have a difference there. So we still have many systems that are not prepared for this level of biosecurity in production.
Gilbert, you're a key partner in DNA Genetics distribution system in South America. What would you say the South American producers are looking for in regards to their genetic programs?
They're looking, first of all, for feed efficiency and daily gain. They are very focused on that. And they're looking for a sow which is at the same time prolific but delivering high quality piglets, individual quality of the piglets. I mean, the Brazilian producers suffered a lot with a prolific sows delivering very small piglets, weak piglets, and we don't have room for a lot of nurse sows to take care of that like some European farms have. So quite similar to what you have in America, we need a sow which is self-reliant and kind of independent and can win a lot of piglets by her own. And feed efficiency and daily gain are definitely the main drivers of that industry as well.
Are there many options for Duroc sires in Brazil, or is DNA Genetics one of the main providers?
Yeah, there are some options, but I would say that DNA is pushing that trend in the market in Brazil. Brazil still deals with a lot of synthetic Pietram boars. But meat quality started to become an issue, not only for domestic consumption, but also for some exports. So the market was not used to find in a Duroc breed, at the same time, feed efficiency, daily gain, and meat quality. And this was the game changer there. So the Duroc options that the Brazilian market had before, maybe they were okay in terms of meat quality, but they didn't compete on feed efficiency and daily gain. And this is what DNA really pushed in that market. So I would say that there are some options, but DNA is kind of leading this trend of moving to the Duroc breed.
Yeah, absolutely. So then as we look at DNA's options in Brazil, what are maybe some of the key maternal or terminal traits that most excite you about DNA's offerings?
I would say that definitely the one that most excites myself and the whole team there is the ability to combine a very high prolificacy with a very high quality of piglet born. So this is what we really see, and over all those years that we are working with that, we really see that it was missing in the market. You had either a very prolific sow or either a very good sow in terms of quality of the piglet, but with low prolificacy. So this ability to combine both worlds, this is something that really excited us.
Now, Glauber, you talked about a lot of different things today. Is there anything that maybe we didn't address that you'd like to share with our audience?
So one thing that is happening in Brazil right now, and it's relevant, is the trend of moving to the welfare-driven system. So it became a law actually in Brazil, but we have a long term for transitioning. But every new farm in Brazil is a country where you have new projects coming in. There is expansion of new projects also, and it's mandatory that they are built according to some welfare regulation. So this is a trend that most of the Brazilian integrators already announced their intention to move in this direction, and this is going to be something that we're going to see in the next 10 years happening very, very fast in our country. So this is something that is relevant in our industry.
Now, when you're talking animal welfare types of issues, are you mostly referring to housing and those types of initiatives?
Yeah, it's mostly related to housing, and within housing, it's mostly related to gestation, to loose housing gestation or group housing gestation. So this is something that there's a lot of discussions about the science behind that or not. But actually, this is something that the industry, at least in Brazil, and it happened, of course, in many countries, is not able to fight against anymore. So it's a question of how to do that, when to do that, and at the lowest cost as possible. But this is a movement, it's a trend that is already happening in Brazil since a few years ago.
All right. Thank you very much, Glauber Machado, for joining us here in the United States for this episode of Inside the Helix. Glauber is an agribusinessman, veterinarian, and DNA genetics distributor in South America. For Inside the Helix, I'm Curtis Harms. Thanks for listening to this episode of Inside the Helix, presented by DNA Genetics. Inside the Helix is released every other Tuesday and is focused on what matters to the swine industry. To catch up on previous episodes, visit us online at dnaswinegenetics.com or find us at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. You can also keep up with DNA Genetics throughout the year by following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For Inside the Helix, I'm Curtis Harms.